Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. And if you have a question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, well, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let us hear from you right now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the implications of the resurrection. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, he hung around for 40 days. He showed himself to over 500 people. They became the witnesses for the story. And we rely on their eyewitness accounts to put our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But after those 40 days, he ascended into heaven. When he ascended, God the Father gave him the Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, he poured that Spirit out on mankind. Well, he talked a little bit about that in John chapter 7. And he says, on the last day of the feast, so Jesus had gone to Jerusalem, they were celebrating the Feast of Booths. And this was a festival that they held in the fall, in the latter part of the year. It was representative of their time in the desert when they slept in booths and how God supplied their needs. And he went there in secret. His brothers had said, you need to go. If you're going to do this, you need to be open about it. And they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. As a matter of fact, they were really jealous of him, and they wanted him to go and for the Jewish leaders to carry out their plot to arrest him and do whatever. So Jesus says, no, my time has not yet come. I'm not going to go to Jerusalem. But after his brothers went, then he went down secretly. So he shows up in the synagogue, and then he begins to teach. And here in verse 37 and down through verse 39, he gives us a clue as to what's going to happen after he ascends. And he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now, that's an audacious statement right there.
Yes.
If you're thirsty, any other philosophy, any other religion is going to point you elsewhere to a set of rules and regulations that may help quench a little bit of your parchment, whatever.
Thirst.
Thirst, that's it. That's exactly right.
I'm glad you were here.
Yes, yes. But he says, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. If you're tired and weary, come to me. If you're hungry, come to me. That was Jesus' invitation to everyone that he met. Come unto me. Why? Because he is the answer. He is the solution. And he says, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Yeah.
So when was the Spirit given? It was after Jesus was glorified. Well, when was that? When he ascended.
Yes.
40 days after his resurrection. So at that point, God the Father gave him the Spirit to give and to pour out on mankind. So here's the deal. If you're thirsty, and there's a lot of people out there who are thirsty, and they're trying to quench that thirst through all sorts of things. There's a lot of people who are spiritually hungry, and they're trying to satisfy that hunger through all the various things that are out there in the world. It could be sex. It could be money. It could be power. It could be pleasure. There's a whole list of things that the world holds out and says, this will quench your thirst. This will satisfy your hunger. But you take a step in that direction, you're still thirsty. You take a step in that direction, you're still hungry. Why? Because those things have no substance. Those things have no life. Only Christ can quench the thirst of the soul. Only Christ can satisfy the hunger of the heart. So he says, here's how this is going to work. If you believe in me, you're going to receive the Spirit, and out from this spirit is going to flow life to others. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us simply sit and soak. We want a reservoir of water deep within us, but we don't want it to flow out of us. And that's where a lot of Christians find themselves being restless. Why? Because this water is powerful and it wants to get out, and sometimes we dam it up. And the Word of God is saying, tear down that dam.
Yeah.
Tear it down. Let the Spirit flow. Mm-hmm. God has freely poured His Spirit into your heart. You will never thirst, because He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, trust the Spirit to flow through you into the lives of others. This is really a river that God is talking about, a river that flows from God the Father into the hearts of His people who have come to Christ by faith, who then allow the Spirit to flow through them to benefit the lives of others. This is the story of the gospel. This is how we impact this world in which we live today. We can be involved in politics. We can be involved in issues. And as Christians, we need to be involved in those things. But the real impact of us being here on this planet is what the Spirit of God does in and through us. So we've received the Spirit. The Spirit has come to take up residence in us. He's not to be just a reservoir. We're not to try to cling to the Spirit and hold on to Him. No, we're to set the Spirit loose through us. And in doing so, that's going to impact the world around us. Maybe one person at a time. Maybe it's going to impact the neighborhoods that we live in, the communities that we live in. But that's God's call.
Yeah.
We just have to recognize that we have this river of life that needs to flow through us into the lives of others.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, friends, and if this message is making a difference for you, we need your help to keep it going. Bob and Richard, next month, of course, we reach the end of our fiscal year, and I know that you're in agreement that it's never been more important for our listener friends to step up and support this message called, well, this ministry called Basic Gospel.
Yeah, I can't think of a better investment than an investment in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we said, it's an investment that helps people satisfy the hunger of their hearts. It's an investment that helps quenches the thirst of people everywhere when they encounter Jesus Christ. Everybody's searching. Everybody's looking. Everybody's on a quest. We can help in that quest and help them find what they're looking for in the person of Jesus. So that's what we're asking you to do, to invest in the power of the gospel to change lives. And as somebody is rescued out of darkness, as somebody has been released from sin and death and can experience new life in Christ, then they can be a point of light in this world today, and this river of life can flow through them into the lives of others. So yes, we need your help. We want to finish this fiscal year strong. We want to start the next one July 1 with resources to take advantage of opportunities to continue doing what we're doing. But come be a part of this. A part of your giving is an expression of that river of life flowing through you into the lives of others. So I'm saying, let it flow. Let it flow generously.
Yeah.
So that people can be satisfied with Jesus.
You can make your gift today, right now, as a matter of fact, friends, when you visit basicgospel.net. Just click donate there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, and help us keep this good news coming. Right now, open lines. If you would like to speak directly with us, if you're hearing the live broadcast at roughly 9 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Have a question or something you'd like to discuss? Call now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, let's hear from Dwayne, who listens in Salinas, California.
Good evening. I have a question. First and foremost, I want to give all glory to God, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'm not a church goer, but I just really need help finding a true Christian church. I just need some guidance as to where. Thank you. Take care and God bless, as always.
Well, Dwayne, thanks for that. That's a question that's asked a lot here at Basic Gospel. Folks want to find a church, and I think that's built into us as believers in Christ. Mm-hmm. When we are saved, we're saved individually, but then we're added to the body.
Yes.
So there are spiritual connections, and we want to enjoy those spiritual relationships that we have, those friendships that we can develop with brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a real source of encouragement there. So that's an inward desire that all of us have. Now there's all sorts of churches out there, lots of varieties, lots of flavors. Most of them distinguish themselves based on some particular doctrine. It could be, you know, the way they baptize. It could be the way they take the Lord's Supper. It could be their emphasis on missions. It could be 100 different things, mm-hmm. or thousands of different things that they try to distinguish themselves. But what you need really is just a group of people whom you can fellowship with. It could be a small group Bible study. It could be three or four friends that you meet with at lunch. You need just to be involved with other people, like-minded believers. And there the body of Christ can do its work in your life.
Yes.
Because there's a real ministry that takes place when we're connected to other people. There's a lot of folks that avoid church, avoid connecting with other people, and just do all of their fellowship online or all of their Bible study online. And boy, that's a great way to be fed, mm-hmm. But you're going to miss out on just the beauty of the body of Christ. So, Dwayne, look for, first and foremost, look for some friends who are believers. And just go to lunch.
Yeah, get
maybe
together.
Start a Bible study, and I think from there you might can find a place. You know, as you get connected with some other like-minded believers, and they start talking about where they go or that sort of thing, then I think you can maybe find mm-hmm. a church home. But it really begins with just a few friends. I know. Once you get involved in a church, you're going to find a small group to be involved in, and it's going to be that small group that means the most to you.
You bet.
You're going to appreciate the sermon. You're going to appreciate the music during the service, but it's that small group of people, either in a Sunday school class, a life group, whatever it might be. Those are the people that are going to encourage you. That's where body life is going to take place for you. So if you can find some friends and start that, I think that would be our recommendation. Richard, any thoughts?
I always say this because I tripped over it so badly myself. There are no perfect churches. Stop looking for them. Because churches are made up of people just like you and me. And we're not perfect. And so we bring all that to church. So if you start small, like Bob is saying, with people you already know, then the relationship is already there. And
yes.
And you can look around for a place where you can serve. The point is not going someplace where you will be served, but where you can serve. And the opportunities are endless.
Yes.
And let the Spirit lead you. He absolutely will. And start small, be joyful, and don't worry about it.
Yeah, and there are some things that you want to look for when you go to a church
yes.
denomination or a local church in your area. You want them to be Christ-centered.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be grace-centered, that you want to focus on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you want a church to be new covenant, a church that recognizes that the old had a purpose, but for believers in Christ, we're not under the old. We're under the, we live in the new covenant. So those are things that you want to look for when you go to a church service. You might hear some things there that you question and you wonder about. Talk to people about that. Find out what they really believe, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah. Well, once again, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to be a part of the live broadcast, we'd have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. This call came in off hours as well.
Yes, the question is, in the book of Daniel, is the book of truth that has been sealed to the end of the times, is that the book of Revelation, or is it a different book? My name is Dr. Bauer, calling from Miami, Florida. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Bauer, thanks so much for calling and for listening to us in Miami. You're referencing, I think, Daniel 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall turn to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, we don't know that this would be the book of Revelation. Richard, you were saying that John was supposed to seal up a book as well, right?
Yes. He was given a book to eat.
Yes.
And it went in sweet and it turned sour, but he wasn't allowed to say what it said. He heard thunders speak from the throne. He wasn't allowed to tell us what they said. So there are things shut up literally until the end, and they will be revealed. Daniel got that. I think it's best just to leave it there and
Right. Wait
for God to reveal it. He will make it clear.
Right, because the end has not yet come.
Yeah.
So
I wish it would come tomorrow, but it hasn't. So yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so, indeed. Dr. Bauer, thank you so much for your question. We appreciate that.
We certainly do. Richard, even though you're going to be retiring in the middle of next month, I know your heart is to see Basic Gospel continue to send out the good news of the truth, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the history of this ministry, I don't think it's ever been more important for our friends who benefit from this program in so many ways to step up and help us keep it going. What would you say to encourage them?
Well, these last two questions we've just answered, yes, I think, are so typical. We don't have a bone to pick with anybody. What we do is present Jesus. He's the answer. He's the one who lives in us and flows through us, as Bob was talking about at the beginning. And there aren't that many radio programs, honestly, that talk about it in these terms. We're about freedom in Jesus.
Yeah.
We're about responsibility in Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're about power of living a life in Jesus. Focus on Jesus,
Yeah. And
lives are changed. It changed our lives.
Yes,
we know hundreds of people whose lives have been changed. This is worth supporting. This is worth the investment. Please do so.
Yes, indeed. And when you give, friends, we're going to send you a copy of Richard's powerful story, What's It Worth? We want you to have a copy of it, so please make your gift today. And again, you can click donate at basicgospel.net. You can do that right now or anytime, 24 hours a day. Donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have this question that comes to us from one of our YouTube viewers. It's this: I feel like I should be more active, but I don't know where God wants me to go or what he wants me to do. So there's a couple of things about the question itself. I feel like I should be more active.
Yeah.
And I think we need to remember Galatians 2:20. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So it's about Christ's activity in and through us. So our job is simply to trust, to simply walk by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he wants us to be about. Now, that faith that's going to manifest itself in love toward others. And, you know, there's situations where you get connected with people. And as a relationship grows, as a relationship develops, then Christ's abiding life can overwhelm that situation in such a way that something powerful happens. So you just go about your life. You just go about your day-to-day activities, knowing that you're always available to God to be used by him and to see this river of life flow through you. So it's not that you have to go out and be more active. Just go and live your life. Just every day, if you have a job that's 9 to 5, get up and do your job 9 to 5. But know that you're a child of God, that Christ is in you, and that at any given moment, Christ will use you to flow his life out there for the benefit of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's an attitude of adventure.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's what this Christian life becomes. It becomes a real adventure because you don't know what's on the docket as far as God is concerned for that day. You have your schedule. You have your routine. Just go about your schedule, your routine, trusting the Lord to carry out his agenda through you.
I think one of the most freeing passages that I have come across is Ephesians 2, where it says, we have been created in Christ for good works that God prepared in advance for us to walk in them. We don't have to run out, as you were saying, we don't have to run out looking for things to do. God will let us know when he's got something for us to do.
Absolutely. And you don't have to go looking for ministry. Ministry will come and find you. And so you know, we think, oh, we're going to have to go somewhere or go over here, or go over there. Just right where you are.
I love that. Ministry will find you.
That's exactly right. Ministry will find you.
Yeah. Another call that came in off hours is this one.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could explain about the Old Testament people that died before Christ came. How do they get saved? Thank you.
Well, I think Hebrews 11 really answers that. It's a chapter where the writer defines faith for us. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then he lists a number of the Old Testament saints. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did that. And he goes through all of the heroes of the Old Testament. And they were being commended for their faith. Yeah. So what was their faith then? Well, it was in the promises concerning the coming Messiah. So Abraham, God just shows up in his life and he says, hey, you're going to become the father of many nations, and through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And to that, Abraham believed, and God said it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that story we see in a number of the New Testament books, Romans and James and the book of Hebrews, and that becomes the example. So what happens to us? We believe God concerning his son, and it's credited to us as righteousness. So in essence, we're saved in the same way, by grace through faith. What's different is that the finished work of Jesus has been accomplished. He ascended, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he has poured out his Spirit. So the Old Testament saints weren't born again. They didn't receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit didn't come to live inside of them. They had to wait for that. Mm-hmm. For you and me, we don't wait for that. The Spirit is poured into our hearts. We become new creatures in Christ, and we're always going to be in God's presence, and God's presence is always going to be with us. So the method, by grace through faith, is consistent from beginning to end. What we received, what the Old Testament saints received, was just a credit to their account. We received the full deal.
Yeah.
And once Jesus completed his work, he went back and told those folks, hey, it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you to be with me.
Yeah.
So when we go, we're going to see those saints of old, and we're going to all rejoice together that we were all saved by grace through faith in Jesus.
Indeed. Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Basic Gospel. And as Bob and Richard have so clearly stated, it is vital to a lot of people for Basic Gospel to be here every day. To keep the good news coming, Basic Gospel needs your prayers and your financial support. Please, people need to hear that God loves them and has provided a full and abundant life for them. So please help with your gift today if you can. Donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.